Hillary Clinton announced her intention to run for President of the United States in 2016 last weekend. Much of the subsequent coverage focused on questions such as whether she'd play the gender card. There was plenty of comment on her style, her hair, and whether being a woman would be a strength or a weakness in terms of winning votes. Par for the course, it seems, in terms of how the press portrays women. But is there sexism at play in how women are treated within media organisations? To discuss, we're joined now by columnist Alison O'Connor and Dr. Tom Clonan, security analyst with the Irish Times and retired army officer. Both Alison and Tom have conducted research on the experience of women in the Irish media. Tom, do you think there's a particularly macho or masculine culture within the media?
Well, I suppose I'm coming from a military background. And as an army officer, as a captain, I did my doctoral research. I did a PhD on the experiences of women in Ireland's armed forces. And, you know, the military would be constructed as a very, you know, hyper-masculine environment with a very robust kind of canteen culture within it. And unfortunately, the research that I conducted revealed unacceptably high levels of discrimination, harassment, and particularly bullying and sexual violence against women. So after I retired, I suppose quite by accident with the Twin Tower attacks and so on, I found myself working in the journalism space. And I suppose coming from the military, I had expected this idea that media would be progressive and, you know, a very equality friendly environment and very, very different from the military. And in fact, I found many workplace settings within Irish media to be, they'd make the army's eyes water in terms of the kind of masculine sort of casual sexism and quite a lot of bullying in this environment. And so that has been, again, an unexpected and kind of disappointing finding on my part.
Does any of that chime with your experience, Alison?
Absolutely, Connor. I think that, to put it another way, the media is a real big Mickey industry, and it's so male dominated. I mean, I did an informal ring around today. And if you just take, for instance, that each day there'd be a daily news conference, and just informally asking people that each day at that, where they decide what's going to be in the paper the next day, what's on the agenda, what's important, you know, what's setting the news agenda, that 80 to 90% of the people at that are male. These are also the people who would be writing editorials, lecturing, you know, politicians or others in industry for having a poor gender balance or for not doing their bit. And I suppose the worst is that they would often consider themselves pretty right on, and if not a feminist, a friend to the feminist or to the female. I mean, I think it comes from the fact that the media is a very competitive industry. It's quite a selfish industry in many ways, in terms of if you're trying to get that scoop, you're working on your own. The hours are very antisocial. And I work freelance now. I work from home, and I suppose so I'm observing it a little bit from the other side. There's very little effort, from what I can see, to accommodate even you know, if women have decided to have children or of that age. It's part of the macho culture, you know, the staying late, being seen to stay late. And it doesn't make it easy. And I see friends my age, other women sort of I'm in my 40s now, who really want to stay in their jobs and who are immensely talented, you know, and would be a huge loss to the industry. And I see no effort whatsoever to accommodate them in any way in terms of trying to mix both work and being a parent.
Tom, you had a point you wanted to make there while I was
speaking. Yeah, sure. Just in terms of my own experience, I'm a journalist in practice, but I also do a lot of radio, TV. So I have a footprint in all of the major Irish media organisations, and I've observed the kind of the workplace culture in each of those settings. The other thing I'd say is, in my capacity, I'm now regarded as a whistleblower. That wasn't a term that was in use when I did my PhD. And over the years, whenever I appear on media, like if there's a TV documentary or a radio documentary, as there was here on RTE, the series Whistleblowers, I have been contacted by female journalists in Ireland who've repeated similar stories. Harassment, sexual harassment, bullying. So I think in relation to the status and role of female journalists within the Irish media, and this is a particularly Irish phenomenon, I think there's a requirement for major investigation and further analysis in order that we remove those obstacles.
There is an issue there, Alison, as you were alluding to earlier, that if these sort of allegations were made, if this sort of thing was to happen in any other sector, it would be very much seen as, and would in fact be, the duty of the Fourth Estate to hold the powers that be to account.
I don't know. It's something funny to do with journalists. I don't know whether we see that journalism is a vocation or something. And it's even if you go walk into an average newsroom, it's been my experience that a lot of the time, even the chairs and the desks and the computers are pretty crap. You know, the journalists don't collectively sort of say, look, we want better conditions, as if we're out being sort of, you know, Superman or you know, saving the world. And it extends a bit to that, I think, to do with conditions. And I think there's a particular thing in relation to Leinster House, which is like a boys' boarding school. It's overwhelmingly male. We know that we've such a poor representation of female TDs. The majority of women you see in Leinster House are either parliamentary assistants, or they're the catering staff, or they're working as ushers. So that it is testosterone laden. And I mean, there's very few places that you could replicate that now. Very few institutions that are so absolutely and immensely male.
Even at a low level, Alison, and I hesitate to use that term, but I know in preparing for the programme, we've spoken to a number of women who'd be prominent within the media. We won't name them. Some said they'd never experienced sexism, but others said, and this seemed to be quite a common response, you do, but you just take it on the chin.
You know, if you have exclusively male environments, if decisions are being taken at a level where it's overwhelmingly testosterone and there's no oestrogen feeding in there, that the balance is all wrong.
What needs to be done then, Tom?
Well, if you look at the Irish Armed Forces, an organisation that operates in very difficult circumstances out in the Golan Heights in Syria and so on. After my research was published and investigated by an independent government inquiry, they have a good start is they have a mission statement with regard to equality. And they also have a very, very strong dignity in the workplace charter. And I think it's incumbent upon organisations like the NUJ and all of our media organisations that they put in place very clear and explicit policies and goals and objectives that are measurable with regard to the participation and promotion of women and female voices at all levels in our media. So that would be a start.
Alison?
So I actually would, I know it would be difficult to implement, but I would be in favour of quotas for things like current affairs panels, for the experts, the people that programmes bring on to tell us what we should think about an issue on a given day, be it a domestic issue or an international one. I think that that's the way that you will, that it will change. Now, things have improved in that area. You have something like the organisation Women on Air. There's certainly more of an awareness there. There's this argument that is trotted out where you will hear from senior people in the media, this relates to broadcast, that listeners don't like female voices. They'll claim they've done research on this. Now, I've never seen, this is something I looked into a couple of years ago. Nobody ever produced that to me. But I think if there is that, I think part of it is that they're unused to hearing the female voice. That we know that on certain radio schedules, on certain stations, you can go for hours without hearing a female voice.
Actually, could I just say on that, Alison, the research in the international, in military scene shows that women's voices are actually the most compelling and attractive voices. And in fact, in the cockpit prompts in fighter aircraft, they use the woman's voice, and they believe it's because we're genetically hardwired to listen to our mothers. And so there's no research that shows that women's voices are less attractive, but there's lots of research that shows that sexist men will often cite false science to support their sexist and misogynistic views.
Alison O'Connor and Tom Clonan, thank you very much.